Started a series and just the last week we started a new series on 2020 vision to become a healthier church, and we talked about 2020 vision last week. We talked about a couple of things when it comes to what does it mean to be healthier. Here it is, to become healthier as a church. And we talked about the importance of prayer, having prayer a big part of our year coming up. We talked about the fact that we need to be progressing in our knowledge and our commitment to Christ. We talked about provision, the importance of giving of our time, of our talents, of our treasures to the Lord. We talked about performance, and that means where are you engaged, where are you involved in the life of the church, and pursuing. We talked about the importance of us pursuing those that do not know Jesus as of yet. And so I wanted to talk about making this very practical here this morning. And I said last week that there is a group of people, and obviously you know who that is probably more targeted than anyone else in our society today, and a group that Jesus has a real heart for. And today I want to talk to you about what we're calling the 414 window. And I don't know if you know this, but I kind of like kids. Well, I really like kids, actually. And so a couple of weeks ago, Michelle and I were in Mexico, hallelujah, with the family. It was good times. And much to my wife's chagrin, I was a little bit of a creeper. What I did is I was taking pictures of the locals, especially I took pictures of kids. Now, you can't really do that in our society, but I figure I'm in Mexico, it's all good, right? So we were up at a coffee plantation, and I took some pictures of the little girl up there, and the kids up on the beach making sandcastles. Oh, to be back on that beach. I got a call from my brother this morning. I digress. I got a call from my brother this morning. He is right now in Naivasha, Kenya. He said, it's really tough because it's gotten a little bit colder. It was so hot during the day, they couldn't sit in the sun, they had to go in the shade. But now it's only 18 degrees, so it's gotten colder. The poor guy, right? I took pictures of the kids up on stage when we were at one of the fiestas there, and kids sitting there and watching TV with, kids watching TV and the mom in front with the little baby, and then the kids on the beach. Kids, love kids. I love this one. I was sitting there just enjoying the sun, and this little guy gets in the kayak right in front of me. I mean, come on, how can you not love that, right? Or the one right in front of me playing in the sand. And then as I was sitting there, I was thinking about kids, and then these three jumped in front of me, and they happened to be my kids. Actually, this week is a good week. This week's a good week because Herb and Teresa, I don't know if they're here. They had a little. They didn't have a baby, but that would be difficult. But they had a grandchild, and they named. Well, they didn't. The parents named her Ava Marie, Meritz. And so here she is, being held by my wife at a day old. And so I'm thinking we're doing something today on the 414 window. So I thought, I called up Seth, and I said, Seth, can you send me a picture when she's 4 days old? See, 414. So he sent me a picture. Now watch the difference. This is day one. This is day four. Do you see the difference? Boy, has she grown up in 4 days, right? Actually, I was going to put a picture up there of a teenage girl, but I thought, we'll leave it at that. But kids are super, super important, and they're not just important to myself, but they're important to the health of this church. They're super important to the health of this church. But I thought about it this morning, and I thought, you know, I'm so glad they're upstairs right now, you know, because this way we don't have crying babies during the service. You know, they're not running up and down the aisles. Let the teachers take care of them, for crying out loud. We just want our own quiet time, right? No, please, no. We need kids. We really, really need kids. And as we look at the 414, I want to start by talking about the importance of why do we need to reach out to these kids? And Pastor Nicole helped me out a little bit with this, and she sent me a little video to shake me back into reality of the importance of children. I just want to show you that at this time. Why do we need to reach the children? Here we go.
There is a window. A window you might like to know about. Not the kind that lets you look at the sky. It's a window that opens up inside a child's heart. A window of time. Because over 70% of all decisions for Christ happen during a very precise window, from ages 4 to 14. And those who accept Jesus during this window are more likely to keep the faith. But that's not surprising, is it? Even Jesus said, "Unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So here's a great question. If 70% of all decisions for Christ happen during the 4 to 14 window, why does the average church focus only 3% of its resources there? Remember when the children came to Jesus? His disciples said, "Don't bother the teacher." The disciples looked down, but Jesus knelt down and saw open windows, open hearts, open minds in need of his love. And he said, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." In fact, God saw the full potential of children over and over in Scripture. Like David, a simple shepherd boy chosen by God to kill a giant. Samuel, a little boy called in the night to be God's prophet. Miriam, who saved her brother Moses so he could save God's people. And Jesus himself, at age 12, revealing great wisdom to the adults in the room. Where the world sees immaturity or foolishness, God sees open windows, tender, trusting hearts, responsive to his leading. But today's children need our help. Around the world, a billion kids, half of all living children, suffer physical poverty. Meanwhile, children in developed nations live in spiritual poverty. Only 3% see life from a biblical perspective. But we can bring hope. 4 out of 5 kids still hunger for God, and we can help them find him and awaken the heart of belief that God sees in them. Today, we have an amazing opportunity to bring God's love to millions of open windows. Children at home and around the world receptive to the truth. So let's give our very best, where it counts the very most. Let's see children with the same great stature that God does. Because the best way to shine light into a dark world is through open windows. Visit 4to14window.com. Win the heart of a child across the street or around the world while the window is still open.
Amen. You know, folks, I want you to get some of the information that was shown there. There is over 1 billion children in this world today. And, you know, it's interesting because this week we were praying for the next gen, one of the evenings. And in Surrey alone, we have over 25% of our population that are under the age of 19. There's a great potential right here, and we need to be tapping into it, and we need to be praying for this generation. See, here's the thing. In order for us to be a healthy church, we need to be looking at the children. And I'm not just talking about the babies and the infants. I'm talking about youth. I'm talking about this next generation. And so, it's important that we need to reach them. But how do we do that? Well, first of all, we got to love them. And it seems so obvious. You know, I was thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you all know this scripture very, very well. But I was thinking, how does that relate to us when it comes to working with this next generation? And it starts by saying, love is patient. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever lost your patience with a child, your child, some teen, some person that's younger than 19? If you're not putting up your hand, you're lying. You know, the crazy thing is, kids, they tend to do the same thing over and over again, the same dumb thing, right? Come on, it's true. So when one of our kids, no names mentioned, Lucas, when he was young, we were in the library. Michelle reminded me where this was, and there was a table sitting there, and it was the greatest thing. It was the funnest thing to see. So what happened was Lucas had a book or something like that, and he put it at the end of the table, and it fell. So then he picked it up and he put it at the end of the table and then it fell. Then he picked it up and he put it at the end of the table and then it fell. And then he picked it up and you get in the picture, right? And I'm sitting there, why don't you just put it further onto the table and it won't fall? I made a mess here. You're welcome, Carolyn. And you know, sometimes it's hard to be patient. Maybe it's hard to be patient with you as well. Maybe it's not just the kids. Maybe somebody else has a challenging time to be patient with me, with all of us. Can we learn? Love is patient. Love is kind. I love the fact that God has called us to be kind to people regardless of the age or the generation. You know, it would be good for us to learn, especially with the younger people, to show kindness. Maybe once in a while to actually come up to them and say something nice to them. You're looking mighty fine today. Like, don't lie about it. Like, don't make stuff up. Okay, so if you got a Sunday school kid or your kid and they come to you and they look like this, don't say you've done your makeup very well, because that would be a lie. But you can still be kind when we are working with this group of people. Show a little kindness. Don't be quick to criticize. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Have you met people? Have you ever met somebody that elevates their child above everyone else? Now, their little Johnny, I'm using it figuratively. If there's a Johnny in here, I apologize. Can do no wrong. He's perfect. Have you seen Johnny? The way he goes to school and his grades, and they put him higher and higher and higher. How many of you know that even though that Johnny may be better than your child, he's probably got some mistakes, right? And the higher you put him up, someday he's going to fall. He may be better than the other person's child, but don't rub it in. The point is, don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant when it comes to overexerting or praise that is not truth. Love is patient. Love is not rude, and that's where this whole boasting thing comes in. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Let me stop by saying it is not easily angered. You know, I honestly say that the one thing I've regretted as a parent is losing my cool on my kids. And I've done it. And I'm sure any parent or grandparent in here can say that they've probably done the same thing at some point in time. If you haven't, I would love to talk to you about it. But I remember when, again, talking about my son, when Lucas was young, and I lost my cool. And I got angry with him, and I don't even know what it was. It was something really dumb, honestly. And I remember the panic I saw in his eye. I'll never forget that. I came back to him and I apologized, but I'll never forget the panic I saw in his eye. And I thought, Wes, you're so not good here. Can we stop before we say or do something, not just with the next gen, but maybe with other people, maybe with our spouse, maybe with people at work, whatever it is, and can we bite that stupid muscle in our mouth and not say something that we regret later? Love is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Don't keep a tally. Don't keep a tally with the next gen. Don't keep a tally with people around you. Don't keep records of wrongs, because there's a lot of wrong in you and me that people could keep a record of as well. Love does not keep, I don't want to go through all of this, but there's a few things here I want to point out. Love protects. I so so want this generation protected. Now, that doesn't mean we hover over them like a helicopter parent, or you know, we put these very stringent little guidelines in there. We've got to allow them to experience stuff. But if we can do what we can to stand against child abuse, if we can do what we can to stand against human trafficking, if we can do what we can to stand against children in kindergarten being manipulated to say they're sexually fluent and they can do and choose whatever way they want. They're kids. Come on. We need to stand for this next generation. So love, I mean, there's lots more can be said here. Going through all of it, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Let's persevere in our love for this next generation. We need to love. Second, we need to listen. We need to listen to this next gen. Mark chapter 10, and it was insinuated in that video there, or brought up in that video. You remember the story where Jesus was sitting there and the kids were being brought to him. There's some, and you know this, I don't have to read this, Mark 10, 14 to 16, but there's a couple of things that I find very interesting. He says, do not hinder the kids from coming to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as this, as these. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's quite a bold statement. And I did a little bit of research, and this isn't rocket science, but there's something about a child, isn't there? There's an innocence there. There is a willingness to trust. There is no self-consciousness or the embarrassment we feel as parents. They're not afraid to depend on others. And Jesus says, look, what you see in these kids, that dependence, that's got to be in you. That's got to be in me. We have to have that kind of reliance on Christ. It's not being set. You know what? The amount of people that get themselves tied up or wound up because of something someone said. And they are people that have left the church because someone looked at them wrong or whatever. I love kids because they'll go up to you if you did something wrong and you say sorry, and they'll say you're forgiven and turn around and walk away. It's done. Oh, if all of us could do the same and just get over it. Being offended has become a huge problem in the church, and I'm glad that kids don't have that same issue that many parents have. I digress here for a second. But love is means that we listen. And you know what I think? I think when Jesus called these kids, and he called them to himself, and he took them on his knee, he didn't just say, I bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you. No, scram. I don't think he did that. I think when Jesus called the kids at that moment to come to him, I'm betting that he sat and he listened. And he talked to them. He says, tell me about yourself. What's your name? Aw. And so what are you doing? What do you like to do? I'm sure that Jesus took time. I said to our youth as I've taken them on different missions trips, especially when I've gone on reserves. And by the way, youth, wherever you guys should all be sitting over there, by the way. In the future, parents, we want the youth to sit in one section. It's coming up, okay, and just let you know. But we are going to be doing a missions trip in the future on a reserve. And this is what I've said to students when we get to a reserve. You have one responsibility on there, on that reserve, when you're working with kids, because that's usually what we're doing, is working with children. I said, you got to get down on your knees to see them eye to eye and listen and let them know you care. That's your responsibility. You got to get down on your knees and look at them eye to eye and let them know that you care. And I've said this many times. There hasn't been a reserve that we've done that where we haven't left and the kids begged us to stay because they just soaked up that love and that kindness. We had our Christmas thing here just a couple weeks back, and I have a little niece. I don't know how old she is. No, Phil's little girl. Yeah. Anyway, she's young. So we were sitting at the, I'm sitting at the table with the kids, right? And I'm sitting there, and she starts telling me a story. Patricia was sitting beside me, and she's telling me this story. I don't know if you're ever. I don't know. Is she four or five? I don't. She can't be seven. whatever. She's young. So she's telling me this story, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this story, and then she starts talking about one thing, and then she kind of whoop, and she's over here, and then she whoop, and I'm like, I don't get it. My brain is not working this fast. But you know what? It was important to her that we listen. And it's important, adults, listen, it's important that you take time with this generation. If Jesus did it, then I think we should do it as well, don't you think? So when it comes to our involvement with the 414, can we make it a point to listen? Can we thirdly make it a point to invest in them? And I asked Pastor Nicole to come on up here, being more of an expert with the kids than myself, and talk about how can we be investing in this next generation.
Great. And so while I do, maybe you should clean up your mess.
You want me to clean that up?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. Yeah. Oh. Might be a good thing.
You see what I have to go through in the office? I got to clean up my mess a little bit.
So how can we invest in our kids? Well, one of the things that they need is ownership. Today's culture says that the kids need us to be relevant and current and experiential. But you know what? We need kids to feel that they belong. They need ownership, and they need our church to be fun. It can't be like school. School can be fun at times, but you know what else they need? They need their friends. They need their friends, even their school friends, their neighborhood friends, to come to church with them. And that way, the more we can get kids actively involved with friends, the more they want to come back to church. If it's fun and they have friends, and you know what? We want them to express to others that this is their church. It's not my dad's church. It's not my mom's church. It's my church, right? Can you imagine hearing that? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to my church on Sunday. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because once they feel they belong, then you know what? They are more likely to believe. When you belong, then you can see the steps of why it's important to believe. Number two, connection. And the church to recognize potential now. Listen to what I'm saying. Connection. Unless new families that are coming into our church are connected with families of our church and in relationship with people from our church, then they won't feel like they belong, and we will continue to see them come and go. So what I'm saying is when a family comes in, you got to grab hold of them, and you got to say how important it is to be here, and you've got to look for them the following week, because if not, we will see the same attendance in our Sunday school and in our church and at our events, and at our outreach, right? Not a lot of amens this morning. I might be stepping on some toes, so I've even got some more stuff. Children are a bridge to families. A lot of people say, well, if you can get the kids, you'll get the parents. You know what? We left one church where we loved it. It was awesome. I wasn't pastoring at the time, and we went to another church because our kids needed change. And our kids said, man, can we go to that church? Because I think it would be so fun. And I still remember the first week we sat in Sunday, and Steve and I are sitting there going, well, it's not the worship that we're used to. It's not the sermon that we're used to. And we walked out, and both our kids were like, can we come back? It was so awesome this morning. You wouldn't believe what we did this morning. And they just told us everything, how great it was. That's the church you want to belong to. This requires all of us to start connecting with families as they come in. So say hello and invite them to sit with you. You could take them upstairs and show them where the kids' programs are. It doesn't always have to be up to a greeter. You can say goodbye. Hey, nice having you here. And intentionally look for them the following week. We need to recognize kids' potentials now. We need to teach them that they are important to God and to his ministry. We had kids serving in our offering today. How fun was that? You know what? They are going to remember, those six kids that were a part of it, they are going to remember that they got picked to be able to serve in offering. You know what? They got introduced to how they need to be an usher. If one day when they grow up, they can be an usher. And you know what? Brian was joking about one of the kids, you know, they're sort of holding their hand like this. Like, you ever get a floppy handshake? Hello, hi. Like, come on, firm handshake, right? Like, some of these things, they're going to remember these things. They're going to go home and talk about it. Good. It's healthy to have kids and children as part of ministry. And you know what? It even adds to the overall health metric of our church. It shows the importance that we place on them. You know what? I always say, bring a kid along with you. When I'm doing ministry, if one of my children are available, I take them along with me. They've got to see through your eyes and what you're doing, and you're mentoring them. I'll get to that. We have junior roles available for kids who are interested. They're in Sunday school, in youth, and even in music. You know what? We want to help see them to see their potential. And we need to release them into service opportunities now. They are never too young. They are never too young. Because when they start taking risks for the kingdom, because they'll realize that they can do this for Christ, they'll want to do it again. I bet you if you talk to any of those boys that were back there, they're going to want to do that again. A church that is great at helping 4 to 14-year-olds flourish spiritually will attract those who are looking for a church to call home. And if a church wants to be missional with families, guess what? It has to be missional with kids. Parents, you got to disciple them now. Parents need to be the primary spiritual discipler of the children. You cannot leave it up to your Sunday school teacher. You need to be intentional in discipling them. Listen to this quote. Our children are sinners in need of the gospel. So let's make sure we see them as the unique mission field that they are. Now I'm going to say this, and listen to what I'm saying. Parents, don't assume that your child is serving Jesus because they go to a Christian school. Ouch. And parents, don't assume that any of the children know Jesus and have asked him into their heart because they come to church. You need to ask them, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Do you know what it means? These are discipling questions. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 9. The commandments that I give to you are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Talk about scripture with your children. What did they learn at Sunday school today? Some guy named Moses. What about Moses? Like, inquire. Be inquisitive. Do they understand what they even learned? Find it in the Bible for them. Break it down for them to easier language when you need to. Because we are to train and teach our children to know the Lord. If we don't talk about spiritual matters now while they're in their home, while they're in our home with us, what then? Because when kids bring their friends over to your house, and if they have an easily conversation with you about spiritual matters, how easy is it for them to open up and talk to a friend about spiritual matters? Whether they're in your home, whether they're inviting others to church, it becomes an opportunity and easier. They don't feel pressured. They don't feel embarrassed because it's natural. Parents, are you able to ask questions to children like, why don't you put your phone down and come over here and let's just read a Bible story together? The fact that we have to say that today, we have to stop kids from what they're doing to learn about Jesus. It's got to be important. What about, hey, have you ever heard God's voice? Have you ever heard God talk to you? And you know what? Maybe you haven't experienced that. But that doesn't mean that God can teach you through teaching your children, okay? He speaks. We just have to listen. What about when you're in the car and my Kids do not like when I do this, which I love. And so the radio's blaring and they've got their favorite song and they're singing away to it. And I go, whoa, 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 what did he just say? What's that singer talking about? It's okay, Mom, we'll change the channel. Right? Because they know that what they're listening to is probably not the best. But you say, well, what did those lyrics mean? That's a great opportunity because they are stuck in the car with you and they have to talk to you if you turn the radio off, right? I know, guys. But when you do this, you know what? You're showing them that you care about what they're listening to and that you want to walk alongside them, right? If you just immediately go, turn that off, and then don't talk about it, what are they learning? They're not learning. So talking and discipling them. And you know what else? Children are imitators, especially younger ones. I mean, I love going into the 2 and 3 and the 4 and 5s and they're playing house, right? Or they're getting food. They're getting a pizza ready for you. Well, if we stop and take a look at ourselves, kids learn through what is called observational learning. When they imitate and they copy or they emulate you and what you're doing or what they see. So here's a question. If you were to reflect on your life so far and the way your children behave and learn and do they reflect Christ? Because guess what? They're looking at you as their prime example. Do you read your Bible in front of them? Do you talk to them about what worries them? Do you complain about the church in front of your children? Are we teaching them about tithing? Are we teaching them about heaven, about what's to come? Do we spend quality time talking through what they learned at church and school and showing them how to pray about the things that bother them? That's discipling. So if you're doing that, good on you. Keep it up. Keep doing that. We need to say that we are training up our children in the way that they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. That's what Scripture says. And we need to lead them to be examples for Christ from the lives that they see us lead. And we need to be encouraging, supporting, and readily equipping them so that they can become all that they were created to be. Okay, moving on. Influence and relationship. You know what? We need this generation to be ones who want to make a change for Christ. Because if a child can come into an authentic relationship with Jesus, not only will their life be changed, but then they can transform their community and even the world around them. They can reach others that you and I can't reach. So if the church is to be missional, then let's be missional with the ones who are already here. It doesn't just take parents to do their part. So parents, if you feel like I've sort of done one of these today, no. Let's all listen up. Because you know what? They always say that it takes a village to raise a child, right? Well, parents, it also takes Sunday school teachers to teach the lessons and prepare them. It takes friends at the check-in desk to welcome them and love on them. It takes greeters and ushers to say hello to them and say, hey, glad that you're a part of God's family. It takes grandmas and grandpas in the church to zero in on a couple of children and tell them that you're going to pray for them this week. It takes older youth and young adults to be willing to befriend them and mentor them like you guys are doing. And it's just a few people taking interest in a few children, because you know what? If you take a few and you take a few and you take a few, you know what? We're going to get everybody. Right? This one article I read said, one of the biggest mistakes I've seen among those who have a heart for the lost is that they don't see the children in their own church as lost. Every child, even the cute ones in our Sunday schools, they need the gospel. They need Jesus. So our goal is not just to get the children into church and into a fun Sunday school, but to Christ. And so we all have a part in raising kids. The important place that influential adults play in the life of a child cannot be overstated. Consistent positive relationships within the Christian community here at the church is needed. See, these are the things that that I see and others have seen that have to take place in a child's life while they're here at church. And how each of us has a part to help parents in their primary role as a spiritual discipler. It takes all of us. So I do want to talk about one more thing, and I'm just going to be quick about it. And I learned this week, and I thought how great this is, and I want to tell you about it. I had not stopped to consider it until I read this paper by a man named Steve Chang on the 414 window, and here's what he says. The 414 window is not only the time when a child is most likely to embrace the gospel, it's also when they will form an emotional impression of church. Hang on to those words, emotional impression of church. We know that not all children will receive the gospel during their 4 to 14 years. And some may even leave the church by the time they become a young adult. But one of the most important determinants of a returning churchgoer will be the quality of the deposit the church made during the child's formative years. Wow, I read that and it blew me away. So, I mean, it makes so much sense. So those young adults that have left the church and have said, no, I don't want any part of that. I've tried that, don't want to do it. If they had a good, positive, emotional impression of the church when they're younger, they have a more positive way of coming, making their way back. So those prodigals still can come back. But we got to start now, church. If children form an emotional impression of the church when they're young, then we need to consider our part as a congregation in order to ensure that our kids have the highest quality experience and lasting impression of the church and of God. Thank you. Yeah.
So let's end by just talking about intercession. And folks, if we aren't praying for this next gen, by the way, we're not just talking about kids, we're talking about next gen. Like, we're talking about students, we're talking about young adults, we're talking about people within the church that are maybe going through a lot of challenges when it comes to education and so forth. When it comes to praying, can we just remember a few things? Can we remember to pray that Jesus, and by the way, this is something for adults as well. Pray that Jesus will call them and no one will keep them from coming. Remember the disciples. Where the disciples said, he's got no time for you. Come on, let him go. Just go away. And let's pray that nobody will keep this next gen from coming to Christ. Pray that they will respond in faith to Jesus' faithful, persistent call. That they respond. And that you show them, as Pastor Nicole says, what faith really looks like in your own life with Christ. Pray that they will experience the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I came to know Jesus young, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 13 years old. I was at an altar praying, and God got a hold of me and changed me and filled me with the Holy Spirit. That happened when I was young. We got to pray that. Now, I want to see these kids filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. Right? I want to see them speaking in tongues and using the prophetic gifts. They can do it. Doesn't matter if they're 4 or if they're 44, right? Pray that they will not partner with those who reject God, especially in marriage. The number one thing that's going to draw kids away is peers, right? Hanging with those people that say, hey, you know what? Come on, let's participate in this. Let's do this. I know that's, even when I was in youth, oh man, and I was with my friends, friends, quote, and we were, you know, the story, driving down the road, and I smashed my car, my parents' car up, wrapped around a pole. It was bad. And, you know, and it's such a picture of what happens when we go our own way and we allow the cultures to steer us in a direction that we shouldn't be going. We get ourselves wrapped up around a pole and we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. Pray that doesn't happen. Pray that their thoughts will be pure. Pastor Nicole mentioned this. What are you allowing in your home? What are you watching? What are they seeing you participating in? If it's not something that's pure, it's just a matter of time before they get caught up in stuff like that. Pray that their hearts will be stirred to give generously to God's work. I'm going to do one here for you, Pastor Nicole. She takes up an offering upstairs for the kids, and she shows me her offering on Monday morning. You know the biggest offering she's got there on a Monday morning in the last, 6 months? I think it was $1.25. $2. Sorry, it was $2. I lied. $2. $2 from all the kids that are up there. They got to learn to be giving. Seriously, folks, teach them. Teach them to give unto the Lord. Lastly, that when the time is right, they will go. And it's right now that they need to be going. And what I mean by that is not leaving your home, though some of you want to get them out, right? And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about them going and taking the message of Christ to a lost world. I believe the biggest mission field is the high schools. I believe that. And I believe that there is an opportunity for these guys to make a difference. I'm going to call the team back up here for worship. We're going to do something a little bit different today, and that is I've asked Pastor Nicole, is opened up the rooms upstairs, and she really wants you to come up there. We want you to go up there to see what these kids are involved in. And maybe God will stir in your heart an opportunity for you to be engaged someplace with the students. I want to do something in closing here before we actually dismiss you to go upstairs. We've talked about a lot of stuff about kids here this morning, but if you are here this morning and you are not in a right place with God, we want our kids to be in a right place with God, but if you are not in a right place with God, you got to make it right today. And I want to end as many services as possible with this question. And it is, where are you with Jesus today? Where are you with Jesus today? We're talking about being a healthy church in 2020, but it starts with your relationship with Christ. And if it is not good, you got to make it right today. You got to make it right today, folks. So can I end by asking you, if you're not where you should be with Christ, can I pray for you? You don't have to bow your heads and all that stuff. This is a family. If you're saying, I need to make things right with God, I want to pray for you right now. Is there anybody like that here this morning? Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be in a place where we can be challenged and encouraged. Father, I pray, help us to understand the responsibility we have to challenge and encourage this next gen. So, Lord, I pray for every teacher that teaches here at this church, but that may also teach in the public schools or the private schools. I pray for every parent. I pray for every grandparent, for every person that invests in the lives of students in this church, God, or outside of this church. I pray for wisdom. I pray for strength. I pray for discernment. I pray for patience. I pray for love. I pray in Jesus' name that as they invest, that they would see, Lord, the return. They would see these students love you. They would see these students serving you. They would see these students leading in whatever capacity you've given them to lead. So God, in Jesus' name, I pray for the leaders, the parents, the teachers, and I pray especially for the students. God, would you break into their lives with the powerful love of Christ? Would you encourage them to take a stand for righteousness and to do what you want them to do? And Lord, as we go upstairs and see some of the things that are happening amongst us, the kids right now, Lord, that we would be encouraged, we would be challenged, and that we would be people of prayer, especially for this gen. We pray in your name. Amen. Why don't we stand?